1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening. Welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A busy night ahead. Rangers are looking to get back to winning ways when they welcome Motherwell to Ibrox. That's after going down to Kilmarnock at the weekend. Amid all the speculation about Moussa Dembele, Virgil van Dijk and injury news on Johnny Hayes, Celtic's gap at the top has been stretched with yesterday's win at Dundee, but Aberdeen looking to claw some of that back when they host Partick Thistle. We've also got the small matter of an Edinburgh derby this evening, as well as Hamilton against Kilmarnock, hopefully, if the weather behaves itself, and Ross County against St Johnstone. Mark Guidi and Alex Ray are here. Good Christmas, gentlemen.
Yeah, fabulous, thank you.
I hope you both got new winter jackets for Christmas, because something's wrong with the heating in here and it is freezing.
Yeah, it is very cold actually.
You can get that. You should get that Tammy back on.
Not at all, unbelievable.
I was going outside for a heat.
Anyway, big night of football ahead. So listen, we're complaining it's going to be a cold one out there. Well done to you who are heading out to the games. Mark, this is what we love about the festive fixture card, that all comes thick and fast. You've got Celtic winning yesterday, Rangers looking to bounce back tonight, Edinburgh derby. It is all happening.
It is, it's a great fixture card tonight. A great time of year. A lot of supporters still, you know, off on holiday, the festive period. So you've got the game yesterday, an excellent card tonight, and another great card on Saturday before the winter break. And you know, I think that, excuse me, we'll see a real bit of shape to the league come Saturday night, Gordon, and we'll know the runners and riders for the various positions in the league, and the managers will know. They'll be chatting down the chairman's door to get extra funds, because every manager will be wanting to strengthen their squad between now and the end of January.
Absolutely. Well, get in touch with us if you've got any thoughts on any footballing matters. 0141 951 1025. We are of course on Twitter at ClydeSSB. The first topic of conversation for tonight, probably for you Rangers and Motherwell fans. Rangers, what type of reaction are you hoping from your team tonight? Alex, I think it's fairly obvious that it was a disappointing day at Rugby Park, and as always, you're looking to the next game for the reaction at a venue when Rangers haven't, where Rangers haven't really been at their best at all this season.
Absolutely, I think they've struggled badly at home, Gordon. 4 wins in 10, I think it is, and it's not good enough. You know, it's, if there are any team you would want to, you know, have good home form, and that hasn't been the case. You know, I was at the Hamilton game about 4 weeks ago or so, and they were really, really poor. Watched a game at the weekend against Kilmarnock. And I have to say, it's been a long, long time, and this is with the greatest respect to Kilmarnock, I thought they were brilliant on the day. It's been a long time since I've seen a Rangers take a doing in the manner in which they did in the second half. It could have, if it had been 3, 4, 5 goals, I don't think anyone would have been surprised. And it must be really alarming for Graham Murty in the manner in which they capitulated. Now, I don't know when the last time Rangers lost 3 games in the bounce, but you know, potentially it could happen tonight. All being Motherwell struggled of late.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, what type of reaction are you looking for tonight? Anything you'd like to see done differently as far as personnel goes, do let us know. We're on Twitter as well. Ronnie Charters is at Ibrox, looking ahead to Rangers against Motherwell.
Yeah, good evening guys, and if you think it's cold in the Clyde One studios, well, you should come and join me here at the press gantry at Ibrox. It's currently -1, but hopefully we'll get warmed up with some Premiership action this evening. Rangers versus Motherwell, and Rangers looking to avoid a third straight defeat. It's unheard of in these parts. Not the best start to the managerial life of Graham Murty. Defeats to St Johnstone and Kilmarnock. They're 3 points behind Aberdeen, and they're in third place, hoping for a win this evening against a Motherwell side who are not on a great run of form themselves of late. No wins in 7, 8th in the table, but they did get the better of Rangers the last time these two sides met in that fiery League Cup semi-final at Hampden. One big difference between that game and tonight, no Louis Molt for Motherwell, so they're going to have to find another way to score goals. But could Stephen Robinson have found his replacement in Craig Tanner? He's been involved in 3 goals of the last 4 games for Motherwell, scoring 2, setting up another. So could he be the answer to the Steelman's striking problems? We'll wait and see this evening. Early team news from this one, it's a boost for Rangers. They're hoping to have Bruno Alves and Lee Wallace back from groin injuries for this one. Ryan Jack is also back from suspension, so he can slot into the midfield if Graham Murty sees fit. For Motherwell, well, they've had real injury problems of late, Gordon. Chris Cadden and Elliot Freer both drop out this evening through injury. Trevor Carson will start in goals. He's been having problems with a shoulder injury, but is able to play this evening. Obviously, we know no Louis Moult, but Peter Hartley struggled with cramp in the last game, the 1-1 draw with Dundee, but he's been asked by Stephen Robertson to play this evening. I think that just shows you how many injuries Motherwell will have at the moment. But as ever, Gordon, we'll get full team lineups to you as soon as we get it here at Ibrox for Rangers v Motherwell.
Thanks to Ronnie Charters. Celtic fans, this one for you. Some breaking news tonight. Liverpool confirmed they've reached an agreement with Southampton for the transfer of Virgil van Dijk. The fee somewhere in the region of £75 million. Do you want me to say that again?
An absolute
£75 million. And as we know, Celtic in line somewhere in the region of 10% sell on. Celtic fans, why not get in touch and give us your thoughts on that one as well. Mark Guidi, you watched Motherwell at the weekend against Dundee.
Yes.
And one of those rare situations, we don't get that too often, where a team uses all three substitutes. Yeah. All of a sudden someone gets injured and they have to finish the game with 10 men. So that paints a bit of a picture as to what type of squad Stephen Robinson takes to Ibrox tonight.
Yeah, it'll be tight. Elliot Freer played for 40 minutes, injured. Eventually he did come off with 13 minutes to go. So Motherwell dug in there, and they certainly had Trevor Carson to thank for a fantastic save in the final seconds to deny Josh Meekings. But Ronnie mentioned there young Craig Tanner, and I have to say, Gordon, very impressed with him. On another day, he could have had a hat trick. Really lively, what a let him about, even though he's a kid. He's stocky, he's got a decent physique on him. He can certainly handle himself and amongst the defenders. And maybe that is a partnership in the making with Ryan Bowman, or maybe Stephen Robinson will want to go out and strengthen and try and get a couple of quid from the Louis Moult transfer fee. But certainly Tanner looks like a guy who has the ability to cause the Rangers defence some problems.
Let's hear from Graham Murty. As you would expect, he's demanding a response from his Rangers players after back-to-back defeats. Motherwell tonight, and you could say Murty already feeling a bit of pressure after being appointed until the end of the season. He's been speaking to our senior sports reporter Alison Conroy.
It's a hard task lifting any professional athlete after a loss, but we have to make sure that come Wednesday we're ready to go. And I've got no doubt the players are professional guys. I've got no doubt they'll be ready come game time.
You need to remind the players to look at games, say like Hibs a few weeks ago, when you're down and you come back to win, and try and get them to have that fight.
The Aberdeen game is the classic one. The Aberdeen game is could be, if we manage it well, a watershed moment for the players in terms of understanding the intensity and the level of quality required. And I had hoped that we would kick on from there. And as I've said, it's frustrating that we can't display a level of consistency where we are actually able to display that quality for longer. But that's the benchmark for me that the players have to look at.
Now that you're in charge till the end of the season, do you feel the pressure has increased on you with every game, or decreased?
I think it might increase, because it's my team, if you will. They're still the same players that I inherited. I'm still the same person. We have to make sure, though, that the players are calm about my role and realise it's not really about me. It's still about when they do their work. I've finished most of my work by 10-3 on a normal match day. When they walk onto the football pitch, they need to execute. And I think, once again, there are times when we do, but there are, frustratingly, times when we're not anywhere near the right level.
So those 90 minutes, the hardest for you in a way, because everything is out of your control, in a sense?
I can try and change it through substitutions, I can try and change it through structure, but you have to give over, and that's the hard part, you have to give over responsibility for the performance to the players, because the players have to perform. And that's the part that is frustrating for me, because they do display ability, they do display fight, they do display bravery. At times, we need it to be all the time, and they need it to be all the time.
William is in Craignewke. William, are you confident of seeing Rangers bounce back tonight, or is it going to be another one of those frustrating evenings at Ibrox?
Hello.
Hi, William. Are you there?
Hi, hello. Well, what is it? I'm a disgusted Rangers supporter. I want to know where Rangers are getting for Dave King, for him to... Where's the money coming from for Dave King? He's wanting to appeal.
Of course, right. Sorry, I thought you were meaning the game. Right, this is on about this £11 million that Dave King's been ordered to pay to shareholders, yeah. Mark Guidi. This was the... So it was 30 days, I think, wasn't it, to basically make a decision on that one. Dave King suggested he was going to want to appeal that decision and so on. So it's something that rumbles on for a little while longer. But William and Craneyuk is a bit worried about where that money's going to come from.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you go by Dave King's lawyer in court, he said that he doesn't have the money. You know, there's not money there to go and, you know, get the 11 million pounds. So again, it's just it's another concern. The Rangers now go and, you know, look to do another share issue to raise capital. We're not quite sure. It looks as though Dave King will appeal the decision made by the courts last week. But it's another thing that, you know, that raises a red flag in terms of Dave King and the whole situation with him being the man to lead Rangers forward. He's certainly been good for Rangers, there's no doubt of that, over the piece. But is he the right person? I know it's easier said than done. It's not an easy thing to say, oh, go and find 10, 15, 20 million to give to the manager to go and, you know, improve the squad and go and put a proper challenge into to Celtic. That's easier said than done. But certainly Rangers do need to find money from somewhere. It has to be more than just the 12, 14 million pounds that they get loyally from their season ticket holders year in, year out. There has to be more than that. And I don't know where it comes from, Gordon. I think it is a concern.
Of course, Alex, there's a real football side to this as well, particularly at this time of the year. I think Mark said at the top of the show, every manager and every fan in the world hopes that their team is going to get the chequebook out in January. But particularly at Rangers, there's a real interest there to say, okay, what type of strengthening can be done in this squad and how much money is going to be available. So it's going to be an interesting time for Dave King and the rest of the Rangers power brokers.
Yeah, I think the Brown record is saying, I think Mark Allen says that the final decision will come from Graham Murty himself. He'll get the decision on the players in which they do bring to the club. And then a couple of days later, Graham Murty says that the responsibility lay with Mark Allen. So there was a bit of confusion who's actually making the decisions there. I would imagine that Graham Murty will have some sort of say in it. He's intimated that Michael O'Halloran and Andy Halliday may well come back from loan deals just to strengthen and bolster the squad. We were talking before the show, Gordon, about the lack of strength and depth in which they have. So I think they most certainly need players. They were linked to a boy from West Brom today, an 18-year-old. I'm thinking to myself, do they need an 18-year-old?
Robert's young Welshman.
Yeah, so you're looking at that and think to yourself, you know, is that really what they're looking for, Mark?
And I believe that Jordan Jones at Kilmarnock is one who's caught the eye. Jack Henry at Dundee's caught that. I'm told there's still an interest in Jamie Walker, whether they can get that one
over
the line or not. I'm not sure. There was an interest in Louis Moult, but obviously he's away now to Preston. So certainly I'm aware of an interest in terms of what the scouting department have compiled in terms of guys
potential targets in our SPFL.
Lee McFarlane's on Twitter. He says, hoping for a better performance on my way to Ibrox. Ryan Jack back in the midfield, we should be a bit more solid. Hoping for 3 points, but with Rangers this season, nothing is a guarantee. I think you touched on it, Alex. Rangers points total this season, they've picked up 22 of their points away and only 14 at home. I mean, that it tells its own story. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I was looking at some of the first 20 games of last season under Matt Warburton. I think they're 3 points worse off this year. And they've obviously invested in the summer, so there hasn't been a great deal of progress, Gordon. And listen to what you're saying about the Motherwell with Ronnie and that there, the injuries they have. It's got to be an opportunity for Rangers to go and express themselves. It's interesting because you see them some weeks, obviously against Aberdeen, you think they're in their faces, they're on the front foot. Alves may well be back tonight as well. Lee Wallace would be an added bonus. They both bring a physicality to Rangers and a strength and experience. Ryan Jack in the middle of the park. They just don't seem to be clicking often enough. And I think he's touched upon it earlier now, Graham Murty. He's frustrated with 1 week they play okay, or periods within a game that they play okay. But you know, you need to have some level of consistency to be playing in front of, you know, 50,000 every other fortnight. So they really need to get the game, because you wouldn't want to go in on the back of a poor result tonight to the Old Firm at the weekend.
And Mark, when you look at the strength and depth, you know, or the lack of, that's what we spoke about. Graham Murty took a lot of criticism, didn't he, at the weekend for not making changes. Other fans will obviously say, well, he doesn't really have too much to choose from when you look at that bench. But on this home record, how do you guard against that in terms of the players tonight? You know, 20 minutes gone, for instance, perhaps they've not really managed to knock on the door yet. Fans get a bit anxious. There's really nothing you can do about that. So how does Graham Murty get that across to his players to stop it affecting them?
Well, I mean, it should be a fortress when you think about it. You know, you've got 47, 48, 49,000 Rangers fans. It should be a place where teams are scared to go to. It's as well as they shoot their backs against the wall. So without looking at all the stats, Gordon, very simple, they're not keeping enough clean sheets and not scoring enough goals at the other end. But you know, just listen to Graham Murty's interview there with Alison, and let me say first of all that I think Graham Murty has conducted himself exceptionally well, represented Rangers brilliantly in terms of the way he's had to deal with things week in, week out, when he was, you know, facing all the questions and information that people want to know. But what I would like to, when I listen to him now in the coming weeks, Gordon, if he is to give himself a chance of becoming the Rangers manager beyond the 6 months that he's got, I'd like to hear him being more assertive, being stronger. I mean, I think he speaks very well, but for me, I want to hear him. I want to hear assertion. I want to hear authority. If you were the manager of Rangers, I think you've got to have that. And I think hopefully in time that will come with him, but it has to come quickly to give himself the best possible chance.
Okay, lots of Celtic fans on Twitter clearly delighted with the news that Virgil van Dijk is heading to Liverpool for £75 million. So a cash windfall will find its way to Celtic Park. Ian in Greenock wants to discuss that. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Mark. And hi, Alex.
Hi, Ian.
Alex Ray, Gordon, does it?
Yes,
hi. Merry Christmas to you guys.
And Andrew, the same to you.
Fantastic time. I've got a wee touch of sore throat here, guys.
Too much partying at Christmas, Ian.
No, I've actually just... I've got the last the family's viral thing.
Oh, it's the old man flu. Nothing worse. Nothing worse.
No, I'm not admitting to man flu, Gordon. Come on. No way I get slagged off for you.
What's on your mind tonight, football-wise, Ian?
I want to talk about... I would say Mark and Alex are going to probably agree with me. I think Virgil van Dijk is one of the best centre-backs in European football at the moment. And you were saying at the top of the programme, Gordon, that it was a 10% selling clause. It's 15%, Gordon.
You may well be right, Ian. I believe it is around 10%, but if I won't argue with you.
15% spot on.
Okay.
So a guy that Celtic paid for £2.5 million from, I think it was FC Groningen that he came from in Holland. Celtic managed to get £13.5 million off of Southampton, and they're going to get a minimum £10 million. That's £21 million for a football player who I think is only about 23, 24 years of age. Mark, Alex, can you comment on that? What do you think?
Well, personally, because when I came in, I said to the boys that you know, I'd just seen the news breaking that he was going for £75 million. We were actually just looking at him on the monitors in the studio there, and the physicality of him, and the guys were kind of reminiscing about Chris Commons was done a thing a few weeks ago and says when he came into training, he says he could play as a number 10 due to the fact that the ability the guy had, but he was 6'4" and a powerhouse. And having seen him on the TV there, I looked at Martin and says he's actually looks bigger again, as if he's going to fill out a little bit, because as Ian touched upon, he's still relatively young. But in terms of business sense, it's an unbelievable piece of business for Celtic. As you said, it was 2.6, he went for about 13 million. But when you take that in plus the add-ons, it's a great piece of business. And you know, Celtic need that money at the moment. It'll probably take them up to about £100 million turnover next year, which is a remarkable piece of business.
And Mark, that's the whole point, isn't it? This is Celtic's structure. This is the way it's meant to work. You're meant to get these guys for a couple of million, sell them on, and then they might even go again. You're seeing a working example of
it
here.
Credit to the scouting department initially, you know, 5 years ago when they identified Van Dijk. You know, credit to the club getting over the line. But I think when you look at Celtic just now, and people say, well, you need a centre-half, need somebody dominant, because of Van Dijk, it spoiled them. And you can't always get a £2.5 million Rolls-Royce, was a phrase that Neil Lennon used about Melly Doors. But I would like to say a bit of credit, you know, for that to Neil Lennon and Johan Mayalby, who had him initially, worked with him, improved him. Then Ronnie Dyla and John Collins. I know John Collins put a lot of work in with him as well, and got him from a £2.5 million player into 11, 12, 13 million, whatever the fee falls. And obviously now he held his own, he excelled in the Premier League down south, and is now 75 million. The most expensive defender, apart from today, was John Stones and David Lees, both at 50 million. So we've gone from 50 to £75 million. Wow, I mean, what an incredible fee. Good luck to him, wish him well, and what a great payday for Celtic.
Ian, on you go.
Can I come back, Gordon?
Yeah.
Gordon. Mark and Alex, well said there. I think the young lad. He is a big lump of a boy, 6'4". He's got all the attributes to be world class, and he's getting there now. Going to my favourite team, apart from Celtic. I've been supporting Liverpool since I was 6 years of age, and I'm going to Liverpool for the new year. Me and my missus are travelling down the 31st to the 3rd, and I can't wait to see him getting paraded on the 1st of January.
Ian, I think you've been a Liverpool fan. I think he's need a goalkeeper. I've been watching Mignolet recently. He's been horrendous.
Alex, can I say something to you? I played football as well, mate. No, it's not a bigger standard as yourself.
Probably a bit Matt's level, Ian.
No. I was at Ibrox when I was 17. Alex, I used to play the Durante and Ferguson in the youth team.
You're probably around about 50, Matt, now, Ian.
Ian's 51. Derek's 51 as well. But anyway, as I say, Liverpool need their defence and a goalkeeper sorted out.
Yeah.
And that's all I'll say, guys.
Great stuff. Thanks to Ian in Greenock giving us his thoughts on Virgil van Dijk. Now, there was a pitch inspection planned for the Super Seal Stadium tonight, Hamilton against Kilmarnock, so we're still waiting on news of whether that game can go ahead. Very cold out there, but some cracking fixtures to look ahead to. Team news from Ibrox won't be far away, and that is coming up after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Guidi and Alex Ray are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Any Hamilton or Kilmarnock fans heading to the game, doing about turn. Game off at the Super Seal Stadium. It's failed a pitch inspection. It's a frozen pitch. We obviously know that we've got the artificial surface there, Alex.
Yep.
But this, I suppose, goes to show once and for all, it's not all weather by any means. It's just too cold, it's frosty, it's frozen on top, and Hamilton and Kilmarnock are going to have to do it all again at a later date.
Yeah, you have to. Players... you know, it's paramount that their safety is first and foremost. But they are, Gordon, they actually get a lot of glaze on top of them, and they're so slippy, so they've obviously made the right decision.
Yeah, we saw, I think, Queen of the South, Dundee United, called off at half time last week on one of the artificial surfaces as well. So there we are. Hamilton against Kilmarnock is off at the Super Seal Stadium. We do still have games on, though, of course. Rangers against Motherwell, we've got the Edinburgh Derby, and Ross County against St Johnstone at the moment, not in any danger. Let's get back to the phones, shall we? Jim is in Renfrew. Jim, you're a Celtic fan. Are you a happy Celtic fan after hearing that a bit of the Virgil van Dijk money's on its way to you?
I'm always a happy Celtic fan, whether we get money or no.
Right.
That's
fair enough.
Whether we use it for a player or him, use it for a deal, I'm all for whatever they want to do, I'll back them.
Absolutely. Mark, on the serious point though, Mark, that's the question that every fan asks then, isn't it? How much is Brendan Rodgers going to get? You know, that's what the Celtic fans ultimately want to know tonight, probably.
Yeah, they do. And obviously, you know, Moussa Dembele stuff is very much topical just now. I think it looks to me as though it's going to go to auction, and I get the feeling that the player will be sold
and this window month.
It looks that way. Like, I'm not saying they're going to sell him for 18 million, but I think now it's basically, it looks as though it's common knowledge he's available. How much you're willing to pay is in a transfer fee, which is fine. You know, that day was always going to arrive. If it happens to be this window, fine. If it doesn't, and Celtic have got him until the summer, then, you know, even better for Celtic. But if you'd offer me a free bet, I'd say that Dembele will go in this window.
Jim, what was your other point tonight?
I was just listening earlier, and Ali was saying he couldn't remember when his team got a doing.
No. Just sorry, that's right, yeah.
Every time you go play the Celtic, he's got a doing. It's quite simple, that answer.
Jim just getting his wee dig in there. They all just, they just like to make life hard for me, and then I get stick for other people for, oh, honestly, carry on. Anyway, what are your thoughts ahead of that game? Jim's looking ahead. Rangers are obviously in action tonight, but yeah, we've got the game at the weekend as well, which people are already turning their attention to.
Well, I think the last time Graham Murty you know, went to Parkhead, it was a 1-1, so I would hardly say that was a doon that Jim was referring to there. But so it's important to always keep the facts in perspective. But they have had a doon more recently.
Keep the facts factual.
Exactly. No, listen, it's going to be a difficult it's going to be a difficult one at the weekend as well. I think Rangers is more important game tonight for them, purely for the point of view as they need to get back on track and they need to get points on the board. Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen, I've got Thistle as well, so you know they've got potentially could go away again. So I think tonight they really need to focus on that. Yeah. The Old Firm will take care of itself at the weekend. And what I will say, it's always extremely difficult going to Parkhead and trying to get a result. So Jim's right there. Even though he's having a wee outrageous dig at this time of the year, festive as well.
Jim, what did you make of Celtic's performance yesterday?
Absolutely brilliant, but I'm not telling any lies saying you go.
Jim.
Honestly. I'm not telling any lies.
We're just trying to be a bit light-hearted, Jim. I thought the period of festive goodwill, you know, would just try and... There they are. I'd try to give him a chance.
Just fade him out.
Nah, I don't like doing that though. I was just wanting to know what Jim made of the performance yesterday.
But he's more interested in talking about Newco now.
Okay, that's fine. That was Jim in Renfrew. I think we're going to have some team news from Ibrox actually ahead of that big game tonight. Ronnie Charters.
The team news is in. I'm just trying to get it in a formation. It's a few changes for Rangers. They go with Fotheringham in goal, a back four of Tavernier, Alves, Wilson and John, the four in the diamond midfield of McCrory, Jack, Holt and Cranshaw, with Herrera and Morelos up front. The subs for Rangers are Kelly, Hodgson, Candeas, Peña, Hardy, Barjonas and Bates. The Millwall lineup also, and I've not got it in a formation yet, Gordon, excuse me, but it's Carson, Tate, Grimshaw, Bigramana, Hartley, McHugh, Rose, Fisher, Dunn, Kipri and Tanner. The subs are Hamill, Bowman, McLean, Turnbull, Campbell, Newell and Yene Dokov.
Great stuff. Thanks to Ronnie Charters. Any Rangers and Motherwell fans, give us your thoughts on those team lines. 0141 951 1025. Alex, amongst other things that jump out from the Rangers team, Ryan Jack back in from suspension, and rare starts for the likes of Nico Cranchar and Eduardo Herrera. We don't see too much of them from the start for Rangers these
Gordon,
days.
Gordon, have you got the team there?
Yes.
Can you tell us who the wider ones in the midfield? So you've got Jack,
McCrory sitting, Jack, Cranchar and Holt, I think you said.
Yeah, so it's the diamond again, isn't it? Yep. And who was the other centre back?
Alves and Dan Wilson.
Yep.
Right, okay. So no, listen, obviously a start for Herrera, which he hasn't really featured of late, and when he has, it's just been little cameos. He hasn't really hit the ground running. He's another one that the jury's still very much out for. I think Ryan Jack being back in the team will be good for the middle. He gives you that a little bit of stability. Alves at the back, I feel as if that partnership's probably the strongest one for me, Mark, in terms of experience. And I think it's Declan John at left back, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
So
yep.
Obviously Wallace hasn't made that, so that he'll give you the width.
Josh Windass, he's suspended tonight, isn't he? He went over the points threshold a couple of weeks ago for bookings, so he's out tonight. Yeah, I mean, you're right, Alex, and you look at Eduardo Herrera, 20 appearances, the vast, vast majority of them are from the bench. In fact, I think it's only one start so far, you know, and two goals. So, listen, a chance for him to show what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, when they were signing the signing policy in the summer, you know, you look at... Pena and Herrera, the two of them. Dalcio hasn't been spotted. It's been an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
The kind of recruitment policy which has been allowed to happen. Plenty of money spent and on current form has been wasted so far, you know.
It just shows you though, as every now you listen to every head coach, every manager, you know people within a club, chief executives. The most important thing is recruitment. And listen, I know it's just an easy thing to say, but it is. And when you strip it back and you look at what Rangers must have added to their wage bill in the summer, I mean, it must have been the guts of 100 grand a week they've added to their wage bill in the summer. Value for money, not yet. Matt, not by a long shot. And Cranchar's another one. Yeah. He's in tonight. Let's see something from Nico Cranchar. I mean, he has got all the ability, but the question mark is, has he still got the desire
physicality as well, Mark? Because he's obviously been injured. Even when he was playing, he was looking as if he was like kind of a bit short in terms of match sharpness. He didn't have a burst to get away from players. Technically, on his day, he's as good as anything on that park.
Yep.
But you're right what you say in terms of the recruitment, because as I said to you, this time last year, they had more points, and yet they've spent a lot more money in the summer. And as you rightly says, the wage bill has gone up considerably. And for me, they're not getting a return on that, Rangers.
Yeah, Brian Lang is on Twitter. He says, I'm sitting in my car outside Ibrox. Cranchar, not good. Two up top, how can he change it if it's not working? Charlie's a Rangers fan in Airdrie. Charlie, what do you make of the game tonight that lies ahead and that team that we've just read out to you?
Well, it's the same old, isn't it? I'm sitting in the car park, they're ready to go in, and I was just saying to the boy, they took the phone call, I'm just wondering what team's going to turn up tonight. You just sit there and it's the same old story. Last time when we took the lead, I thought we were going to end up winning the game. Anyway, I lost the game. The time before that, we went behind, and then it was the other way about. I was just wondering, are we going to ask Alec Ray, is there any investment coming in at all? Because I'm a Dave King fan, right? I've always been a Dave King fan. You know, I've even got a file in the house when he started taking over Ibrox and all that. And he said he was going to be 30 million in and all that. I can't understand now that he's turning around and saying that he's penniless. How could he turn around and say he's penniless? How did he manage to take out Ibrox in the first place if he's penniless? You know what I mean? He said he was going to spend the investment for his family and all that kind of. I'm not really wanting him to do that, but I can't understand about how he's coming away with that now. And I just don't know where we're heading now. I don't think we're reading it. We definitely need to get somebody to come in, because I can see us getting back to where we were before.
So Charlie's in the car park like the previous tweeter. So I'm not sensing, and listen, this is only a couple of callers, I'm not saying this is representative of everyone, but not a great deal of optimism, Alex, ahead of this one tonight.
Well, the interesting thing about Charlie, because I understand he's touching upon what Dave King's bringing to the table, right? I think everyone, and I was one of the guys that when they wrestled it away from the previous regime, I was very complimentary. When they got the merchandise deal, I was very complimentary. Now, to get things right here, Charlie, I think Dave King's only about 15 or 16% shareholder of the club, if I'm right. So he's not as if he's a major shareholder. And I think that's the reason why he's been told by this court thing, without getting into all the legalities, he has to do the £11 million new shares, because of he was found as if it was kind of coming together by the other parties in the share thing. So without getting into all that detail, now, I think the bigger picture for me is, where are they going as a club and a board? You know, I've heard some comments last week about, you know, the appointment after Graham Murty was appointed, and they were saying that they're very comfortable and confident in where they are as a board, and then they lose to Kamala the next day. Now, you can't really take that on one game where they're going as a board. I think you have to look over the period in which they've been in. This is them, they're onto their third manager. They're spent, I mean, we've just talked about the spending policy, which they have overseen as well, which hasn't been good enough. You've got the director of football coming out a couple of days ago and saying that, you know, he gave a list to the board, which I don't think helps anybody by actually saying, because the list clearly wasn't good enough, or what they were looking for.
For a new manager, you mean?
Yeah, absolutely, or fits the criteria. So I'm thinking myself,
yeah, it's either not good or the list was too ambitious.
Well, may well have been ambitious, Mark. But the thing is, as a director of football, you should know what your board criteria is, yeah. Whether what the salary should be, what they're looking for, whether it's a young guy, old guy, you know, someone like Graham coming through the development with an older head overseeing things. But whatever it's been, the whole thing's been a nightmare, Mark. Mm-hmm. And as a board, and as Dave King's, he seems to be the kind of head of that board, they need to get their A game somewhere soon, because guys like Charlie, I spoke to you prior to the show as well, one or two guys who invest in Rangers heavily, are getting a wee bit disillusioned. So much so that last week, one of my mates he throws a lot of money at the club, and they're getting a wee bit kind of, there's a sense of anger with the appointment as well. And
of Graham Murty.
Yeah, of Graham Murty. And they're actually at the stage where it's a really tricky time for Rangers. And if they go into this new year and the results don't pick up, it could become a problem for them, because it was 44,000, which again is admirable, because the fans are backing them in their numbers. And they need to watch, because you can't take this for granted, Mark, because at some stage, the board of that and the infrastructure, the whole thing comes into question.
Of course, we are continuing to build up to tonight's games in the Ladbrokes Premiership, but we'll take a look back at Celtic's win at Dundee and hear from Brendan Rodgers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Guidi and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are, of course, looking ahead to tonight's games, but important that we look backwards as well, Mark Guidi, because Celtic went to Dundee yesterday. How would you describe that performance? I think it was certainly comfortable and then some, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I was probably a wee bit surprised just how comfortable it was. That's not to take anything away from Celtic, but having watched Dundee on Saturday, I thought that they made it a wee bit more difficult for Celtic, but I don't really recall Craig Gordon having a a save of note. Celtic wasted one or two chances, but you know, for Celtic it was important to win the game to set them up for Saturday for the Old Firm derby. So since Tynecastle, Gordon, that was three games. What was it, seven goals scored, none conceded. Again, it comes back to it too. Griffiths, beautiful first touch and finish his goal, but does he start the game? I certainly think at the moment he is the form striker. I look at Dembele. Okay, it's between Dembele and Griffiths to start the game on Saturday. I don't think Edouard, you know, comes into equation to start the game. For me, I would go with Griffiths. I just think he looks as a wee bit more about his game at the moment. I don't know if Dembele's slightly distracted, maybe not fully fit yet, I'm not quite sure, but for me, Griffiths looks slightly more on song.
Well, Brendan Rodgers says the 2-0 win against Dundee showed him the players have the hunger needed for a club like Celtic. It was goals from James Forrest and Lee Griffiths which sent Celtic 11 points clear at the top, and Rodgers says they were sharp from the very first whistle.
A very, very good performance. I thought we started the game well, good control. Dundee have showed here against the likes of Aberdeen, even though they lost, tough team to play against Rangers, winning that game and some of the other performances that they've had. So it was always going to be a difficult game for us, but I thought we controlled large parts of the game. Scored two very, very good goals. You know, the first goal was a great demonstration of our patience, but still looking to get into areas where we could hurt them, and we did that in the end through a great pass and move, and then a goal by James. And then the second one was really about what we talked about before the game, about our hunger. You know, I said that it's not enough to want to win the game today, you know, because they'll want to win it as well. We've got to be hungry to win it. And that means getting tight to people, getting close to people, and pressing how we press, because this is the identity that we've created here as a team. And even though we're in a run of games which is so hard physically, we have to find that motivation and commitment to go and do it. And the players did that.
The Celtic boss also confirmed there had been no bids for striker Moussa Dembele. That was despite reports on Christmas Day linking him with Brighton. Rodgers says he won't stand in any player's way, but admits only the perfect deal would see the Frenchman leave the club.
Well, listen, it's the same idea as we don't want to lose any players, of course, and we won't lose any players. However, if there's something that comes in, which again, it goes back to that issue morally. You know, if there's something where a player can earn five times as much as what he's on now, then it's very, very difficult to stop them, especially if you get then a fee for a player. There's a lot for that to happen. There's a lot that needs to be right. We don't need to sell anyone. That's the idea. But I think what is always important at Celtic, especially when you're doing so well, is that you know there's going to be interest, and you always have to be, you have to prepare forward for the what if. And if we lose any of our players for the reasons that I've just said, then we hope then that we'll have some to bring in and just keep the sort of continuation going of how we're being working.
Mark, I think I'm right in saying it was Christmas morning. I just finished with the whole present routine, and then quick look at Twitter. Moussa Dembele rumoured to be on his way to Brighton, but the club very quickly put that one to bed, saying that it wasn't going to happen. But you still reckon it may happen in January somewhere, if not Brighton?
Yeah, well, I think just to be clear, what the club said was there hadn't been a fee agreed. There is interest from Brighton, let's get that straight. It looks to me as though there's an auction building up for Dembele. That's what I get the feeling this is heading towards. And there's obviously that the agent has an idea now that, you know, there's five or six clubs maybe interested in you. Now, does the agent know that, you know, for sure 22 million is going to get him, or 19 million plus, you know, whatever it is? Have they established a fee for the agent, or is it just a case of going to auction and, you know, if we get something that 22, 24, 25, fine, the player will obviously know, the agent will know, whatever he earns at Celtic just now, I don't know. Let's say Dembele earns 20 grand a week at Celtic. The agent will know, listen, whether it's Brighton or West Ham or Liverpool or wherever you're going, you're getting up to 55 to 65 grand a week. So there is that out there too. But again, just going back to it, I get the feeling that Moussa Dembele will be sold during the January transfer window, and I don't have a problem with it. I think sometimes these things come to it, and I just look at Dembele over the past few weeks and think, you know, do you know what, maybe the time is right just to cash in on him.
Some other potentially worrying news coming out of Celtic tonight, yet to be confirmed by the club, but widespread reports that Johnny Hayes' season looks to be over, Alex, if it's a leg break from that tackle in the game against Dundee. Yeah. I've seen a lot of Celtic fans online today not happy with the tackle. But Brendan Rodgers after the game, he said he had no problem with it. So none of the Celtic staff, none of the Celtic players had any problem with the tackle itself. Some fans may have a different view, that's fine. But either way, the important news is it looks like Johnny Hayes has come off pretty badly out of
it. Yeah, I was at the match yesterday, Gordon, and it was a coming together. You know, I think it was the boy...
Meekings.
It was on the blind side. Johnny Hayes had just tried to rob him on the blind side. And he's hit it, and I think in the follow through, I think both their shins have come together. And at the time, he intimated he was in trouble, Johnny, and put his hand up. And after the game, we were pleased because Brendan Rodgers has actually come out and says it looked as if it's going to be bruising, which is obviously a bonus. But there's some reports floating about today that he's, you know, he's broken his leg and it could be the end of the season, which is a shame because it looked as if the last few weeks, as if he was getting up to speed. And starting to be kind of comfortable in that environment.
George is in Bears Den. Hi, George.
Hi there, panel. How you doing?
Good, yeah, George. Not bad, you?
Aye, not bad. Yeah, I just want to mention something about the Virgil van Dijk saga, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I find, I'm a Southampton fan. I used to work down in St Mary's when I was studying social work. And that was about 10 years ago. Now, I find it very, very strange that Les Reed, you know, who stuck to his guns over the summer, would suddenly let Virgil van Dijk go halfway through the season. I mean, the price is pretty good, but I'm just a bit amused why, A, he'd let Virgil van Dijk go in mid-season, B, let him go to Liverpool, when relations appeared to be very frosty between Southampton and Liverpool after Liverpool were accused of tapping up the transfer in the summer. It just seems a very, very strange, bizarre decision for this transfer to happen now.
George, when I see the figure, the 75 million, I think that's probably been the one that's actually swayed it in their favour.
That would probably make someone do something they maybe didn't want to do, wouldn't it? 75 million, that's enough to change your mind.
But George is right, because in the summer there was a wee bit of, kind of, I think Southampton reported them at the FAA about tapping him up. You don't know what the discussion was with Virgil and the Southampton hierarchy. He says, listen, it's too soon, we won't be able to get a replacement in. And we'll revisit it again. But when you're talking about 75 million quid, Mark, it's a phenomenal amount of money.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think back in the summer, George, they were probably talking about Liverpool. There was an interest from Arsenal, from Chelsea, maybe Man City. They're maybe talking about 50-55. But now all of a sudden, as we said earlier, the previous record for a defender was John Stones and David Luiz at 50 million. So you've jumped to 75. Clearly as well, Van Dijk's heart's not in it, or what, he's now a Liverpool player, so his heart wasn't in at Southampton. You look at the problems that they're having with Pellegrino, the manager there as well. Maybe Southampton thing, if we have to change our manager, we don't want to think, well, we'll keep Van Dijk, and he's got the whole Van Dijk thing to come in and try and sort it. So do you know what? Let's just make a decision. Let's take the money and let's get rid of, that's a problem for us. That's a problem cleared. We've got £75 million. We now move on without distractions.
You're not playing particularly well with him in the team anyway, yeah. So I wonder if it's just got to that stage.
He's been left out the last two games too, but they do appear to be in a bit of trouble. And having watched them against Spurs yesterday, you're thinking Pellegrino, I think they could be looking for another manager soon.
You want to come back in, George?
Yeah, I mean, I take your points on board, but you know, Van Dijk hasn't really sort of settled into the team. He's not played his best since the summer. But in terms of timing, even with the issues with Pellegrino, it just would make more sense to address these issues in the summer, because they only have a month to get replacement. If they're going to replace the manager, they've got very, very little time to do it. And as we know, in January transfers are very, very difficult to get the right type of player that Southampton need for their defence. They've not fully replaced Jose Fonte, who left in the summer, and now they need to replace Van Dijk. I know they've got a lot of good young players coming in, like Josh Sims, and they've got Matt Target, who's making more appearances of late, but they needed to strengthen their attack because of injuries, certainly now to Charlie Austin, and now they need to, you know, they don't have much time to sort out new defenders and new attackers. It just, it would have been better to do all of this in the summer.
Well, with a month to spend £75 million, I'm sure they'll find a way, George. But thanks for your call. That was George in Bears Den. Kilmarnock have issued a statement tonight following the postponement of that game against Hamilton. Very simple, just says naturally disappointed that the game's been postponed. Barry Cook and his team made the decision following a 6:15 pitch inspection. We fully understand player safety is paramount. But Jordan Jones, he's had a bit of a dig on Twitter, Mark. He said, no surprise, they only started working on the pitch 15 minutes ago. That was half an hour ago he tweeted it. So Jordan Jones isn't too happy with the efforts of Hamilton Accies to get that game on. Anyway, it is off and it's time for us to do this.
Beat the pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Just over 45 minutes until kick-off in tonight's Ladbrokes Premiership games. But before we do that, it is time to play Beat the Pundit. If you fancy your chances of getting one over on Mark Guidi or Alex Ray, now is the time to go and pick up that phone. Dial 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Alex Ray and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Some big games in the Ladbrokes Premiership tonight. We've been building up to those, but remember Hamilton against Kilmarnock is off. So if you're on your way to that one, turn around and go up the road. Let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. Tonight's contestant is Ross Edmonds from Moodysburn. Hi Ross.
Hi, how are we doing?
Not too bad, Ross. I hope I'm not keeping you. I understand you're on your way to the game tonight. Are you sitting in the car park till you get this over and done with?
I'm sitting in the car waiting for this and I'm going to walk over to Ibrox, yes.
Right, well listen, I don't know, I can't predict what you're going to, whether you'll get 3 points tonight, but you've got a chance to get it off to a winning start for yourself on Beat the Pundit. I'll toss the coin. Heads is Mark Guidi, tails it is Alex Ray. Let's see what we've got. What, oh, and it is tails as well. It's Alex Ray you're going to be up against. So let's give Alex some Clyde 2 in his ear. Make sure he can't steal your answers. Is that us off and running? I think so. Okay. Right, Ross, I'm sure you know the way it works. 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
No worries.
Let's do it then. Clock is ready. Now, Harry Kane became the Premier League top goal scorer in a calendar year with how many goals?
39.
Which female tennis player has announced she'll return in Abu Dhabi next week?
Maria Sharapova.
Who's the current holder of the PDC World Darts Championship?
Van Gerwen.
Who's been named referee for this weekend's Celtic against Rangers game?
Willie Cawthon.
What position does Partick Thistle's Niall Keown play?
Centre-back.
Which sport would you associate Alistair Cook?
Cricket.
And in which European city would you find the Signal Iduna Park?
Dortmund.
Okay. Sounds like new stuff. Alex, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, yes.
Good stuff. Mark Guidi's trying to psych him out. Ross, you can't see this, but he's giving him the eyes as if to say, listen, Ross knew his stuff, you're up against it. Right, Alex, 30 seconds, same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yeah, go.
Okay. Harry Kane became the Premier League's top goal scorer in a calendar year with how many goals?
55.
Which female tennis players announced she'll return in Abu Dhabi next week?
Pass.
Who's the current holder of the PDC World Darts Championship?
Michael Van Gerwen.
Who's been named referee for this weekend's Celtic against Rangers game?
Bobby Madden.
Which position does Partick Thistle's Niall Keown play?
Midfield.
Which sport would you associate Alistair Cook?
Cricket.
And in which European city would you find the Signal Iduna Park? Quite
France.
Late.
City.
Which European city? And you just said France. Don't worry, it's no Paris either. But anyway, right, let's go through them. Ross, you know, certainly looks quite close. I don't know, I think Ross knows his stuff. Harry Kane became the Premier League's top goal scorer in a calendar year with 39. Ross was on the money. 55. I know he's good, Alex, but 55 in a year.
Was that for the Premiership? The actual goals? Was
39
it?
In the calendar year, yeah. So, which female tennis player, it's 1-0 to Ross, by the way. Which female tennis player's announced she'll return in Abu Dhabi next week? Serena Williams. So Ross is still 1-0 up. Alex pulls one back, but Ross got it as well. Michael Van Gerwen is the holder of the PDC World Darts Championship. Alex does eventually equalise, though. Bobby Madden, the man in the middle of the big game this weekend. Which position does Partick Thistle's Niall Keown play?
A half, I know.
Honestly, Alex. Ross said defender, and he got it right. So 3-2. It's 4-3 because you both got Alistair Cook associated with cricket.
I'm beat.
And he stretched his lead anyway, because it's Dortmund where you would find the Signal Iduna Park, not France. There are, Ross. So
well done, Ross.
You're off to a winning start.
Well done, Ross.
I don't know if your team will do the business for you this evening, but you've won Beat the Pundit anyway. Good man.
Brilliant. Well done, pal.
Thanks to Ross. That was Ross Edmonds in Moodysburn. I know you're a competitive individual. You'll be disappointed that.
Yeah,
that was
like
a poor effort.
Year on the front. I said to Mark beforehand, I wasn't quite up to speed about with the sport the last few days.
Yeah,
I was actually thinking about the 55 in terms of the England goals and things.
Honestly.
Funny enough, I had 54 down, so I know where you're coming from, because I thought the question could have been worded slightly better.
He became the Premier League top scorer. There you are. The clue was in the question. Well done to Ross Edmonds.
Sure.
Anyway, let's see if we can check in with Dave Galloway. He's looking ahead to Aberdeen against Partick Thistle. Are you with us, Dave?
Yes, indeed, Gordon. Thank you. Well, Partick gave themselves a boost, didn't they, with a much-needed win over Hamilton at the weekend to move off the foot of the Premiership. And they'll be looking to kick on now. Thistle know they must improve on their record on the road. They're the only team in the league without an away win this season. Pittodrie hasn't been a happy hunting ground for the Jags, who failed to score in 6 out of their last 7 visits here. How they'd love to put that one to bed tonight and get a positive result. Alan Archibald's side will face a tough task, though, against the Dons team, who are smarting from their defeat to Celtic. And Aberdeen boss Derek McInnes is challenging his men to finish 2017 with a bang. I can tell you 3 changes for Partick Thistle tonight. In come Jordan Turnbull, Connor Salmon and Andy McCarthy. Out go Martin Woods, Chris Erskine and Chris Doolan. So it's Thomas Cherney in goals. They've reverted to a back four by the looks of things, the Jags. Adam Barton, Jordan Turnbull, Danny Devine and Niall Keown at the back. Then in midfield, Paul McGinn, Andy McCarthy, Ryan Edwards and Stephen Lawless, with Blair Spittle supporting Connor Salmon up front. The substitutes for Partick Thistle: Scully, Nitrianski, Nisbet, Wilson and Story. So just the 5 substitutes for Partick this evening. Aberdeen, I can tell you, also make 3 changes. Shay Logan, Scott McKenna and Ryan Christie replace Dominic Ball, Carrie Arneson and Mark Reynolds in the opening lineup for the Dons, which is Joe Lewis in goals, Shay Logan, Anthony O'Connor, Scott McKenna and Andy Considine at the back, Graham Shinney and Kenny McLean, these sitting midfielders. Then Greg Stewart, Ryan Christie and Gary Mackay-Steven behind the main striker Adam Rooney. The subs for the Dons tonight: Rogers, Reynolds, Arneson, Ball, Harvey, Wright and Ross. And match referee at a bitterly, bitterly cold Pittodrie, it's Ewan Anderson.
Thanks to Dave Galloway at Pittodrie for that one. All the stats, Mark, point to an Aberdeen win, and we know it's not often as simple as that, but I mean, they've won the last 6 top flight games against Partick Thistle. You know, Partick Thistle failing to score in 6 of the last 7 trips to Pittodrie in the league as well, so it all points towards an Aberdeen victory. We know it's not always as simple as that, but there's a lot to play for both sides as well. Thistle off the foot of the table at the weekend, and Aberdeen 3 points ahead of Rangers, so perhaps looking to see if they can stretch that or at least maintain it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll come the winter break. Aberdeen will want to have gone in with 6 points in the bag, 3 tonight and 3 on Saturday. Partick Thistle, you know, without being defeatist, I'm sure they'll think anything from Pittodrie tonight would be a major bonus for them. It's all about them, I think, building on that home form, Gordon, and winning the weekend. Is it Ross County on Saturday?
Yes, yeah, home, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what they want to look to do. That's a big one for them, bearing in mind where Ross County are on the table and where Thistle are. That is a massive
6
game.
6-pointer.
It is, indeed. So, you know, that's a big one for them. But certainly Aberdeen, you know, want to build on the cup results that they had, albeit they lost 3-0 to Celtic the weekend. But I watched the highlights, Gordon, and you do have a bit of sympathy for them. You know the way some
certainly
of the goals
started brightly,
yeah,
didn't
some
they?
Of the goals they conceded, they were a bit unfortunate, albeit Celtic did deserve to win, but I'm not so sure there was 3 goals in it.
Okay, let's speak to Frank and Clyde Bank. He's on the line. Hi, Frank.
Evening, guys.
Hello. Hi, Frank.
Hope you all had a nice Christmas and hope you have a good new year.
Same to you, Frank.
What kind of team do you think Walter Smith's going to put in the weekend?
This has gone right over my head. Are you saying that Walter Smith's pulling the strings? Is that what I'm missing here, Frank?
Of course he is.
Right, okay.
See the last Old Firm game? I sat and watched it with my son, and after 15 minutes I said, Walter Smith. The way Rangers were played, the way they lined up, and they were right in there, they were right up for it. That wasn't the boy Murray. And it's going to happen the same this
Are you
week.
Talking about the one at Celtic Park last
season?
The 1-1 draw.
Yes, very much so.
Listen,
it stuck out a mile.
Well, Graham Murty may well have taken inspiration from somewhere, but that's a bit of an odd accusation that it's actually Walter Smith. I don't think that is the case. But what about Frank's more general point, Alex? Did Graham Murty, will he try and follow his own blueprint this time around?
Yeah, he's got to try and make
it. In many ways, it's one of the standout results in his time, isn't it?
Yeah, well, listen, I think the teams that have actually got any joy have always put a relatively high press on Celtic. The problem you have is if trying to keep it up for 90 minutes is nigh on impossible. They have players that kind of carve it open, and then that goes back to the debate. With Griffiths and Dembele, the games that have always mattered for Celtic, as they brought in Dembele as a number one striker in the big games. So they have a physicality to get an out ball if they do have to play longer. So, but listen, we all know that Walter Smith's been speaking to Murty. He said that a few weeks ago. Graham said that he had been in consultation with Walter. But listen, there's no way that Walter Smith's picking that team, that's for sure.
Mark, if you are Graham Murty, is it as simple as that? Just try and replicate what happened at Celtic Park last season. The other thing is, though, of course, Celtic weren't at their best that day either, so you're kind of relying on that happening too. Although Rangers did take a lot of the credit for stopping them playing, do you think that will be something Graham Murty will go back and look at?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine, you know, it'll be 4-5-1, 5-4-1, whatever you want to say. It's a case of trying to be compact. It's the old saying, you know, keep it tight for 20 minutes, don't give them any encouragement. But I think, you know, come, was it 12 o'clock lunchtime kickoff on Saturday, I would expect it to be a backs to the wall job for Rangers and trying to survive that first 10 or 15 minutes where they get, you know, Alex talking there that, you know, Dembele gives Celtic that out ball. I don't know, I'm, where's Rangers out ball? Alex, I mean, you know that Morelos is our number one striker, but he's not a great out ball. And I think back to the last Old Firm game, albeit it was at Ibrox, it was under Pedro Caixinha. But the amount of times that Morelos got caught offside was absolutely disgraceful for a professional footballer. Listen, you allow one or two, but I don't know, it was 5, 6, 7. You think any time they were trying to get up the park, get their shape back, get a breather, you know, he was just constantly getting caught offside. So I don't know if he looks at that. I don't know if Windass can play the striker. Do it. I really don't know, but I've got my doubts about Morelos being able to be that lone guy to give Rangers an outball.
I think part of the problem is his height. You look at Dembele, you know, he's a beastie guy, he's some size, physicality, he's got power and pace. And you're right, what you say is about Morelos on that day, Mark. He ran offside 4 or 5 times first half. But listen, you have to put it in context as well. He is, he's only 20, 21.
But Alec, you know the offside rule. When you're 10 years old, you should know the offside rule.
Yeah, but listen, what I'm saying is, but he doesn't actually lead. The times he was trying to get in behind, Mark, whereas we're talking about an outball is how do you actually hold the ball up and bring people into play. He doesn't have that physicality either, so... Again,
what did they do then? Did the Rangers have anybody on their books to play that low? I mean, obviously, I don't think Kenny Miller's going to be fit, is he going?
No, Kenny's miles away. So the Herrera would give you the stature, but he doesn't even bring that physicality to play, Mark. You know, he doesn't bring the ball down, he doesn't bring people into play, he can't even run into the channel. So it will be Morelos, there's no two ways about it, because they're so limited in
you can't really argue with his goal scoring this season either for a guy who's just signed.
He made a terrific impact, Gordon, you know, and up until, you know, I think if you look recently, he's probably got maybe a couple of goals in the last 10 or 12 games.
He had that big spell, didn't he?
Fantastic spell, and everyone was going, oh, this ball.
No, I meant without the goals, sorry, in the middle,
yes,
as well.
Absolutely. So after that, he ended up struggling to make his mark. He got a goal recently, a couple of weeks ago, but he just needs to go on a little bit of run. But again, it's going back to who they play. You know, the balance of the squad's not particularly great. You know, Cranchard, you couldn't put him up front either, even though he's a big lad. So it's going to be a really difficult afternoon regardless for Rangers.
You want to come back in, Frank?
Yep. Just a wee thing, because I got it for a good source, and I came on one night and I told you about Kenny McDowell had handed his resignation, and you laughed at me. And then an hour later, it was all over Sky, you know?
Well, I remember that night, Frank.
Of course you do.
Luckily,
I agreed with you.
I'm telling you the same again.
I can't take any blame for that one. And it's taken you all this time to clear your name, Frank, eh?
Nobody phoned me back. I apologise, I was right.
Typical, honestly.
Yeah, apologies, Frank, come on.
Good stuff. Thanks to Frank and Clydebank for that call. We're going to look ahead to the big...
So I thought Frank was going to give us another... Cracker there, no, was he just referring back?
No, he was just saying that Walter.
Oh, yeah, I think that was it. Yep,
I thought he had. Alright, sorry.
Alec is in Parkhead. Hi, Alec.
Hi, panel. How are you doing?
Good, Alec.
Good, thanks.
Aye, obviously, you know, we had the massive blip with the Hearts game. The build up to it, I think you could see Celtic won the but we're starting to lose our edge a wee bit, and it was just unfortunate that, you know, the manner that we get beat, all credit to the Hearts. But, you know, Celtic had obviously the Partick Thistle, Aberdeen, Dundee, then obviously Rangers. And as I says to Andy, I think it was that I feel as though that the Aberdeen and the Dundee game, and it's no disrespect to Rangers, I feel as though that they were the hardest games that we were going to play against. Obviously, we've got Rangers at Parkhead, and you know me, I'm on the show, and I come on. The score, and I've said it before, the score will be whatever Celtic makes it, you know, and there's nothing that, you know, that Rangers can more or less do to stop it.
So what are you expecting, a 3 or 4 or something like that, Alex, for Celtic?
Oh, no, I'm looking for, I'm a 5-0 man, you know what I mean? I've had a few up last season. I believe that, you know, and it's, again, it's not disrespect to Rangers, it's just obviously Celtic, we are where we are, and Rangers are where they are. And, you know, if Celtic are on their game, you know, the players that themselves will raise themselves for that.
I would agree with you that Celtic, I think, have hit a bit of form. Again, James Forrest in particular is looking fantastic just now. And there's no doubt that when it comes to kick-off time on Saturday, Celtic start the game overwhelming favourites, that's for sure.
Alec, I was just, I've got some friends up in the East End who have been home and away guys to watch Celtic, and they're saying that the actual recent form, even leading up to the Hearts game, it looked as if it was kind of coming, that a lot of the players had been off their game. They have responded relatively well in terms of the games you just mentioned there at Aberdeen and things. And I was at the game yesterday and it was a canter. But a lot of the players, he was saying, like Sinclair's not been up to speed. You know, Dembele, Griffiths has been in and out of the team. So there's been guys who were actually like stalwarts. And I agree, if they all come to fruition at the weekend, it could be a really difficult afternoon for Rangers. But he was saying that they actually had, and a few of my mates have been saying that they haven't been hitting the heights nowhere near like last season.
Alec, I think the Motherwell game a couple of weeks ago, and please do correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's the only 5 that Celtic have scored in the league this season. Are you still as confident hearing that you can do it again this time around?
You know what I mean? You know, we haven't played anywhere near for what we had played last season. But, you know, we have played a hell of a lot of games, and that's what we want. That's what happens when you're at a big club. We have played a lot of games, but, you know, if the player like James Forrest, Lee Griffiths, you know, Rangers are a poor lot. You know that's just the way it is. And if Celtic did take 4 or 5, I don't think it would be a big surprise.
Alex, you say you've played a lot of games. Have you played much more this season than you did last season?
What I'm saying is obviously where we had to start the season for the Champions League qualifiers. We all know it's getting harder. But again, that's just what happens when you win a league in Scotland, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Brendan, we don't get a lot of time, obviously, with players coming back for the European Championships, you know what I mean? But again, we have got a big squad, but at the end of the day, like the players are only human. You know, you get guys coming on the show saying, if you're getting paid $20,000 a week, you know, they want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. These guys are athletes, they're professionals. And, you know, their body can only do so much.
Okay, thanks to Alec in Parkhead for that call. We're going to get these to a full-time teaser as we continue building up to kick-off in the games tonight. That's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Alex Ray and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As always at this time, we get these to a full-time teaser. This one's been sent in by Gary Percival. Thank you to Gary. And remember, folks, we've had a bit of a lull over Christmas. We had a couple of nights off, so that means I think it's time that we restocked the teaser folder. So if you've got any that you want to send in, send them in to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com, and you can try and catch the pundits out if we get them on air. So Gary says, in the 21st century, 10 players have played competitively for Rangers and also represented an African nation at international level. Can you name them? So we're looking
I think we've had something in this one. Yeah.
So we're looking for 10 players who've played for Rangers this century and also represented an African nation at international level. Any sort of easy ones to get us off and running?
Majid
Bagheera, Algeria.
Brahim Hemdani.
Yep, he's also Algerian. Bilal Mojni as well, Tunisian. So that's 3. So we've got 7 more to get. That's a decent standard. Good start off and running. Let's speak to Gio, who's in Milton. Hi, Gio.
How you doing, my friend?
Not bad.
Sorry, mate.
What's that, sorry?
A very good evening, mate. A very good evening. Merry Christmas to all in there.
And you, mate.
Hi, Gio.
Two points, guys. Just, well, you're the one on set. I'm a Celtic fan. And I just think since the Hearts destruction, really, I thought the wheels had fallen off really badly. And since that, they've got 9 points, no goals conceded. And I think the next time Celtic play at Tynecastle, I think they'll need Venetian blinds on their newsstand. But my real point is really regarding Graham Murty. Two defeats. Do you think if Graham loses tonight and then loses on Saturday, do you think the board will consider sacking him?
No, no chance. They've made a decision, Gio. And listen, I personally, I don't think it was the right decision. You obviously got to get behind the boy. It's his first stint in management, and it's a tough place to learn. And that's why I say tonight is a paramount, that they try and get the 3 points, because obviously Saturday will take care of itself. And but the board have made that decision. For them to get back after 3 or 4 games, they would look incompetent. So I don't see that happening anytime soon. I think he probably needs a wee bit of guidance, you know, and support from the people from within, you know. And that's what he needs at the moment. But he needs his players to be a wee bit more consistent. He's talking about his frustrations. He can't allow them to boil into his press conferences and things as well. And he said the other day in the press that he was frustrated. He didn't want to actually give them a rollicking due to the fact he felt as if it might hamper their you know, their confidence. But, you know, at some point down the line, if they continue to perform the way they did, particularly in the second half against Kilmarnock, I'm sure one will be coming.
You know what it's like, Mark, as well, when any new manager comes in, never mind one like this where there's so much debate about whether it was the right option to take. In order to get people behind you, to get people believing in you, to build up a bit of steam, you always need to win some early games, don't you? It allows people to buy into to what you're doing. So whilst Alex is saying, you know, there's no chance at the moment, Gio's perhaps onto something in the sense that if this was to continue for a couple of weeks, Graham Murty's really, really going to feel the heat, isn't he? And I don't mean in the sense of losing his job, I just mean in the sense of all the criticism that's going to come his way.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure that Graham Murty, whatever happens, that he will have his job as under 20 manager to go back to, and I think that should be the case. But yeah, you know, Rangers are a football club that demand to win games. Their supporters demand it. That's what the club's been all about for decades and decades, that you win games, you challenge for trophies, you win silverware, you compete in Europe. And he's got to do that, because at the end of the day, he is now a Rangers manager. And if you don't do it, then you look at the board, they don't hang about. They get rid of Matt Warburton, they get rid of Pedro Caixinha. Now, I don't think they'll get rid of Graham Murty, lock, stock and barrel. But if it got to a stage where we're saying, well, wait a minute, we now have to go back and have another look at this situation, and if they need to do it, then they will do it. Another thing as well, the supporters will demand it. And come March, April times, when season ticket renewal books go out as well, you know, Rangers are dependent on that for between 12 and 15 million pounds worth of income. But I don't want to be negative towards Graham Murty. That would be unfair. As I said earlier, listening to his interview with Alison from a day or two ago ahead of the game tonight, I just think he has to have more authority, a wee bit more aggression just when he's doing his, you know, I think he comes across very nice, represents the club well, but as a Rangers manager, you've got to have, you know, the chest out, the chin up, bump and going for it, and letting people know exactly who you are and what you're all about. And I think you'll have to get that pretty quickly.
Gio, we were asking the Celtic fans on the line what they made of this Virgil van Dijk business. Is that one that you've been paying attention to, one that you're happy to see go through?
Most definitely. I think they take away the fee first that Celtic's received, then they get 10% of the
remaining. Yeah, I think Celtic are set to receive about 10%. The sell-on fee overall is a bit higher, but of course some of that has to go to his previous clubs, Groningen being one of them. So Celtic themselves are set to receive around 10%.
I would take anything as a bonus to my club, and anything that obviously what we get, we have to depend on. Like every club in Scotland have to depend on Europe. We have to depend on European football for funds. It doesn't happen. We don't get our funding back in this country, so we have to depend on the European funds. So anything we get out with us doing the business on the players, fantastic with the clubs putting these clauses on these players, because I think for years and years, both Celtic and Rangers have had
you know, a rough time to say the least regarding the transfer fees.
Okay, thanks to Gio in Milton for that call. 01419511025 if you'd like to join us. Now we've got the small matter of an Edinburgh derby tonight. Hearts against Hibs should be an absolute cracker. Gavin Pearson is looking ahead to that one.
Good evening, Gordon. Welcome here to a chilly Gorgie, but it is going to be heating up by 7:45. A full house here for this Edinburgh derby. Next week sees the 15th anniversary of the game here at Tynecastle, which ended 4-4 with three goals in injury time. Will that drama ever be matched? Perhaps tonight. It's all about unbeaten runs. Hibs haven't lost in their last eight derbies. Hearts are still to be beaten here at the revamped Tynecastle. Craig Levein going for experience, making three changes, bringing Walker, Brandon and Gonsalves in for Smith, McDonald and the suspended Harry Cochrane. In goal, it's John McLaughlin. It's a 4-4-2. Across the back, Connor Randall, Christoph Berra, John Suter and Jamie Brandon. In the middle, Jamie Walker, Don Cowie, Prince Boban and David Milinkovic. And up front, Ismael Gonsalves and Kyle Lafferty. On the bench, he's got Hamilton, Hughes, Zizlak, Callahan, McDonald, Henderson and Stockton. One change for Hibs after their 2-1 victory against Ross County on Saturday. Marvin Bartley is in for Brandon Barker. In goal, it's Offi Marciano. It's a 4-4-2 for Hibs as well. Effie Ambrose, Paul Hanlon, Darren McGregor and Lewis Stevenson across the back. It's McGeoch, Bartley, McGinn and Boyle making up a diamond midfield. And up front, Anthony Stokes, man of the match on Saturday, partnered by the impressive Ollie Shaw. On the bench for Hibs, Dabrowski, Matalevichus, it's Gray, Slivka, Swanson, Barker and Simon Murray. And tonight, fully expecting this one to be evened out. Points going to be shared, I reckon. Stephen McLean is the referee.
Well, one thing's for sure, Mark, if anyone's had the pleasure of being to an Edinburgh derby before, they're always brilliant occasions. The new stand at Tynecastle under the lights, it's certainly all set up. I guess we just hope that we get a football match that matches it.
Yeah, you know, looking at Tynecastle, it'll be absolutely bouncing tonight, Gordon. There's no doubt about that. They're fiery affairs. A blow for Hearts that they won't have young Harry Cochrane and the team for sure. He's a big game player, even though he's 16. But Hearts will go into it confident on the back of the 4-0 against Celtic, albeit they only get a draw at the weekend there, but still. It was another clean sheet. And for Hibs, you know, I think they've got a great record recently. Is that right?
They're eight unbeaten in the
terrific
fixture
record. You know, Dylan McGeoch in good form, John McGinn in good form, young Ollie Shaw is banging in goals, Anthony Stokes is saying he's putting in some extra graft. But I just, you know, overall goalkeeping situation for Hibs, I think's a bit of a concern. I think Hearts and Hibs are both looking at Scott Bain, the Dundee goalkeeper, maybe with an eye to make a move for him next month when the window opens. But to get back to your original point, it is a great game to go to, and I don't think tonight will be any different, and I'm expecting a good few goals at Tynecastle.
This result against Celtic, Alex, that Hearts got, and of course some of the other results round about it, I'm not saying it's all based on one game, but I reckon if you'd asked someone to predict this a few weeks back, they would say, oh, Hibs are going to absolutely batter Hearts here. But all of a sudden, Hearts are picking up a bit of steam. They're pretty hard to beat. I think they're 7 games undefeated. They've obviously had that much talked about result against Celtic. Guys like Jamie Walker coming back into the team tonight, how do you see it tonight?
Well, listen, I think it's going to be an absolute belter. I think the when you look at Hearts, I think Suter and Berra have been absolutely stalwarts. One of the best defensive records in the league as well. The emergence of some of the young boys, McDonald and Cochrane, that Mark touched upon there. I think it's going to be a brilliant game tonight. I think Hearts will go into this thinking they've got a very good opportunity to try and turn the fortunes, because as Mark's touched upon there, 8 games without a result against your bitter rivals, particularly at your own home ground. Mm-hmm. Because I think one of the key things of Hearts historically is that they've always, Tynecastle's been a nightmare to go to. So if they could put a benchmark down tonight, it'd be great for them.
I mean, you look at the league table as well, Mark, because you always talk about perception in football. You know that Hibs are absolutely miles ahead of Hearts this season, but slowly but surely, Hearts have just about started to, you know, to creep up there.
Can we overtake them tonight?
They ended up with the point at the weekend. Remember, they only managed that draw at the weekend. So as it stands at the moment, Hearts are on 28 points and Hibs on 33. So it's one of those where a victory for Hibs really does kind of stretch them away, but Hearts will be desperate to try and stay on their coattails.
Well, I would say Hearts will start, because the game's at Tynecastle, I would say Hearts will start at slight favourites. That said, I think Hibs middle to front, I've got a bit more about them. I think Hibs are more dynamic, but I see that Milinkovic is in the starting lineup again. Don Cowie's back for Hearts. I like Don Cowie. I think he brings a lot to the teams. I think they're really tough one to call. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it's a 2-2 or something like that. But I think for Hearts, it's probably more important that they get that victory.
Let's hear from Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson. We heard from Graham Murty ahead of the Rangers Motherwell game earlier. Stephen Robinson says he hopes they can stop the rot of seven games without a win when they take on Rangers at Ibrox. The Steelmen picked up their first point in four games after a 1-1 draw with Dundee at the weekend, and Robinson hopes that is something of a turning point.
It was a massive point for us, a massive point, and we actually got a penalty and came into the game when we only had 10 men. Although Elliot was on the pitch, he couldn't do anything. So that's huge going into these next two games and then into the break. I think the overall outcome is the one thing that we're not clinging to by any stretch of the imagination. We're positive that has turned the tide. You know, it's easy to get in the habit of losing games as it is when we get in the habit of winning games. So we need to get back to that, stopping the rot, and then we know what we need to do. You know, as I say, both boxes, you need to defend properly like we've done today, and we need to take our chances when we get them the other end.
Now, Motherwell's Ryan Bowman says he won't change his playing style as they head to take on Rangers this evening. I'm sure you all remember the striker caught Fabio Cardoso in the face the last time the sides met at Hampden. It resulted in a broken nose for Cardoso, but Bowman says he won't be distracted by the hostile environment he's expecting tonight.
It doesn't really bother me. I mean, once you're on that pitch, when fans are giving you sick, you don't really, you know, they're running for your body, so you don't really, you know, take notice of what the crowd is saying, because it'll just put you off your game. So you've got to try your best to forget about it. If you go into games and you think, I'm not going to go up for this, I'm not going to win this header, it puts you off your game. And as a striker, as a target man, that's, you know, one of your big strengths when you have physicality, and if that goes out your game, then, you know, you're going to be, you know, might as well not play.
Alex, would you predict an outpouring of festive cheer and forgiveness for Ryan Bowman amongst the Rangers fans tonight?
I'm sure we'll get a warm welcome, Gordon. I've got to say, some of the tackles, particularly his arms, the flailing
tackle
arms.
His arms.
Yeah, but you know, some of the stuff that was going on in that game, yeah, was brutal. And for the referee not to see that on the day was beyond me. But I have to say, if I was a Rangers player in there tonight, I'd be saying, right, we need to start the game. We need to show an intent and a physicality that will match that. And I think Bruno Alves and also Danny Wilson will have to be up for the challenge, because they are quite direct, and Bowman will be very much part of that whole thing, you know. So it's 1-1-7, 1-1-7, is that correct? So this game tonight, you know, again, is important for Motherwell going into the derby game against Hamilton at the weekend. So, you know, it's one of the both teams actually, and they're desperate for a win tonight.
Yeah, it certainly does look like it. Let's speak to Ronnie Charters. I know we're going to have a minute's silence for the Ibrox disaster at Ibrox this evening, but let's speak to Ronnie before that, try and get to him and see if things are building up. Ronnie, I'm not sure what type of crowd you can expect on a night between Christmas and New Year when it's freezing cold. I know Motherwell have sold out their allocation over in the corner, but is it filling up nicely at the moment?
Yeah, as you say, the Motherwell fans have sold out their allocation, not a seat to be had over there. It's a decent crowd for Rangers. Got to be, as you say, between Christmas and New Year, you know, it is absolutely bitter cold as well, but a decent turnout for Rangers as well. And the Rangers players could be doing with it, you know, that home support behind them as they look to get back to winning ways. As we say, it'd be unthinkable for three defeats in a row, and it'd be unthinkable for Graham Murty as well. A lot of pressure on his shoulders this evening to try and, you know, turn the tide, as it were, for Rangers. Can they get their first win as permanent, his first win as permanent boss? For Motherwell, as we say, a lot of injuries for Stephen Robinson. They're looking for their first win in seven, as we said. A chance to climb back into the top six as well. If you look maybe a month or two ago, Motherwell were up to third in the league and going well in a cup final. How the times have changed, and now down to eighth in the league. But a big one at Ibrox can do so much going into the winter break in the new year. Just a recap of the team news for you, Gordon, as well. It's four changes for Rangers. Hodgson, Windass, Bates and Candeas drop out in place of Cranshart, Herrera, Alves and Jack. It's a 4-4-2 diamond, Fotheringham in goal, a back four of Tavernier, Alves, Wilson and John. The four diamond of McCrory, Jack, Holt and Cranshart, with Herrera and Morelos up front. The subs for Rangers, Kelly, Hodgson, Candeas, Peña, Hardy, Barjonas and Bates. For Motherwell, two changes, Bowman and Cadden out in place of Rose and Fisher. It's a 3-5-1-1 formation. Carson in goal, a back three of Keeprey, Hartley and Dunn. A midfield five of Rose, Grimshaw, McHugh, Bigirimana and Tate, with Fisher in just behind the lone striker of Craig Tanner. The subs for Motherwell, Yenadokov, Hamill, Bowman, McLean, Turnbull, Campbell and Noel. And the referee here at Ibrox is John Beaton.
Okay, thanks to Ronnie Charters. I know lots of you like to play along with the full time teaser, so these two, Mark Guidi and Alex Ray, are going to get a bit of time to think about it, and you can do the same. We're looking for 10 players who've played competitive for Rangers and also represented an African nation at international level in the 21st century. We'll get the answers to that and kickoffs in all the big games coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Guidi and Alex Ray are here with me, Gordon Duncan, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots of big games to look forward to tonight. They're all kicking off right about now. Rangers against Motherwell. We've got the Edinburgh Derby. Hearts against Hibs. But remember, Hamilton Kilmarnock is off, so certainly not kicking off. Absolutely no chance. They'll have to do it all over again at some point. Aberdeen, Partick Thistle as well. I gave you the teaser before the break, folks. We were looking for the 10 players this century who had played for Rangers and represented an African country internationally. So before the break, I think we had Majid Bouguerra of Algeria and Brahim Hamdani, also of Algeria. Any advance?
Yeah, we got Mojny as well, didn't we?
Sorry, you did. Bilal Mojny, Tunisian. Yeah.
I've got
Alex, you actually played with some of these guys, it should be pointed out. So
yeah, well, just got them. Namuchi's one.
Hamid Namuchi, yep.
Yeah. And El Hadj Diouf.
Uh-huh.
We're confident now, they too.
Halfway there. I'll let Alex get another five.
That's not too bad. I'm just looking to see if you played with other ones.
I don't think I did, mate.
I think he's played with at least one more of them.
I think you probably have, to be honest. Yeah. Underway at Tynecastle anyway, just inside the opening seconds. We're getting underway at Ibrox as well. Remember, there was a minute's silence before that game. It's just interesting watching Hearts, Mark, now to see in which games they try to replicate what they did against Celtic and in which games they succeed at it, Alex. Because it's not as easy just to say go and do that every week, is it?
Yeah, but the thing is, see, when you're playing at home, Gordon, you want to have a high intensity, and that's what they did against Celtic from the kickoff. Oh, there's an elbow there as well. Oh,
Anthony Stokes,
Stokes has just caught it looks like the young boy.
He's caught Conor Randall. Doesn't seem to be too much in it, in the sense Stephen McLean, and both players are fairly happy.
I've got to be honest with you, I think he's led with his elbow there.
Let off then, if that's the way you see it. Anthony Stokes, he caught Conor Randall. He bounced back up. Referee said free kick, but get on with it. And nothing else really comes of that. Hearts nil, Hibs nil. I wonder though, is this the game, Alex, where Hearts may be able more than any other to replicate it? Because Hibs also quite like to try and play out from the back. They also quite like to keep possession of the ball. It's at Tynecastle again. Yeah. So I wonder if Craig Levein rolls out the Celtic blueprint again tonight. Blueprint.
Well, listen, I think when you're playing against your oldest rivals, you want to try and get in the face. It's interesting watching the first couple of instances there. I think it was Mitrovic who was get elbowed earlier on. He'd be a flailing arm from the kickoff, and Stokes has just laid one on the Hearts guys. I think this is going to be the kind of blueprint that both teams are going to go hell for leather tonight and just try and get in people's faces, try and get high tempo, try and dominate the game. And it's exactly what you expect from a derby game, just to try and get the upper hand, and then it will eventually settle down.
And I'm just wondering what kind of start we're going to get, Alex, at Ibrox, because for a number of weeks now, when Rangers have been having some difficult results, they've managed to find various ways of doing it. You know, for a while it was you know, perhaps falling behind early on.
Yeah.
But now in the recent games, they've actually managed to take the lead.
Yeah.
And then somehow fall out of it, which that especially shouldn't happen. You know, at Ibrox, it usually would be if Rangers get their nose in front and the crowd gets up, and it's a long way back, but it just doesn't really seem to be that way at the moment.
They don't seem to have the same kind of fear factor. That would be the perfect way to explain it. I think, you know, against Aberdeen, he went into the diamond both games, and it worked a treat for him. He's went with the diamond again tonight, and I think teams are actually cottoning on that you can actually get a wee bit of you know, momentum on the wings playing against them, and that seemed to be the case. But there's a coming together again with these both Hibs players. This is going to fierce match.
Yeah,
God,
it's
that
five
is one
already
of the games where you said, Marty says you want a high tempo, and that very much
we've got
there.
It. We've got it.
Yeah, it certainly looks like it at the moment. Mark, a real feature of Motherwell's game when they were performing well at the start of the season was just getting so many crosses into the box. And it helps when you've got someone like Louis Malt who's there to put it in the back of the net. Not only do they now no longer have Louis Malt, but also Chris Cadden's out injured tonight. Yeah. Elliot Freer's out injured as well.
So
you're talking about width there. Yeah. I wonder how it's going to play out tactically there, because both sides are personnel wise struggling a bit at the moment.
Well, it would look to me as though, you know, it's a case of just being hard to break down for Motherwell. If they maybe think that Rangers a wee touch fragile, you know, the stats that you've mentioned at the top of the programme, only 14 points taken at home in the league this season, which is really poor for Rangers. As I say, Ibrox should be an absolute fortress, but you know, Motherwell, as much as they won't feel overly comfortable, they won't be dreading going to Ibrox tonight, but if they can get a foothold in the game, get themselves going, then they, you know, they might do okay, but considering that injury list that they've got, Gordon, and as you say, the lack of a wee bit of power up top, although I do like the look of Craig Tanner, I would expect Rangers to win the game, but I think it'll be a real slog for
them. Well, I can tell you, with a minute on the clock, Craig Tanner's already found himself one-on-one with Wes Fotheringham, but the goalkeeper has come out on top. So it was a flick from Alex Fisher, again a man who we've not really seen start too many games for Motherwell. He's flicked onto the path of Tanner, he's in one-on-one, but Fotheringham makes himself big and makes the save. So Alec Fotheringham, I know for some reason there are a lot of Rangers fans not quite convinced about Wes Fotheringham, but what he has certainly shown is that he's a shot stopper, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he pulled off a couple of brilliant saves from Chris Boyd at the weekend, and you know they're relying on him too much, Mark, and I think that's intent right away as well from, and we were saying they're direct the ball up to Fisher for the flick on, and that's a common theme. But Jamie Walker's just had a great chance here from about 8-9 yards out.
Should have scored.
And he should have hit the target, and he's just a yard over the bar. Brilliant game this, Gordon.
We do actually have our first goal of the evening as well. It comes in the Ross County St Johnstone game. So Denny Johnson has put St Johnstone ahead with only 2 minutes on the clock. So listen, a long, long way to go in that. But just further evidence of a real tricky spell this for Owen Coyle at the moment, Mark. And I know he was disappointed at the weekend, felt he should have had a goal that stood late on in the game and so on, but things been fairly difficult for him at the moment.
Well, you know, when you're down the bottom, there's a reason for that. You're not having luck, you're not getting decisions. I was with him the week before when they lost at Hamilton Accies, and Owen felt, you know, hard done to by a couple of goals as well, and I think he had a case. And but look, again, he'll be one that will certainly be asking Roy McGregor to pull out all the stops and try and get boys to go up north, but it's not an easy thing to do.
Mark, his first six games, I think he got 10 points or so. I think they really
started really, well.
He got the bounce, and I think it's 1 point in the last six or seven games in the back of this. So, you know, we need to get some bodies in there, reinforcements.
So just a reminder of the way things look in the early stages then. It's Aberdeen 0, Partick Thistle 0, it's Hearts 0, Hibs 0, Rangers 0, Motherwell 0, Ross County 0, St Johnstone 1, with Hamilton and Kilmarnock postponed. Right, we've got some work to do in this teaser, don't we? Yeah. We're looking for the 10 African internationals who've played for Rangers this century. So we've already got Majid Bergera. And we've I thought we had an opening goal.
It looks over the line.
That looked in.
We've got some early drama in the Edinburgh derby. Ollie Shaw was sure he had put the ball over the line. The assistant on the far side and the referee not interested. Play rages on. We'll get another look at it. So we're looking for these African internationals who've played for Rangers. We've already got Namuchi, we've got Hamdani, Diouf, Bugera and Mojny. Any
take
more?
It away, Alec.
Kerker.
No.
Boy, Kerker, no.
No.
I thought he was no, I was struggling.
Right, okay, some clues?
Yeah, well, I think that's
plenty of clues.
Well, one of them went on to have a pretty good career in England. He's still been in the English Championship, I'm sure. He was fairly prolific at some points of the, and we're just seeing this Ollie Shaw goal again. We'll have some Hearts and Hibs fans on the phone tomorrow. That is over the line, and it's not been given. Anyway, Hearts nil, Hibs nil. Listen, we're running out of time.
Somebody's still playing in the Championship.
So went down south, had a decent career in the likes of the English Championship, Hull amongst his clubs, Fulham as well, Nigeria being the country.
Sonia Lukum.
Welcome to the competition, Mark.
Another one, big striker, again a decent enough pedigree. Went down to Hull when he left Rangers, so he played 07-08 and then went to Hull.
Daniel Kuzan.
Daniel Kuzan, right, we're getting there. We've got one South African international here.
I told you there was a South African
who I think only played one game for Rangers, or they said it was one league game.
Oh, that's South African heading, isn't it?
Yeah, that's tough. I really don't know what say to you. We've got another Senegalese player here. It was 14 caps for Senegal. That's another hard one. I'm telling you, you're getting made to work for these tonight. No doubt about that at all.
You're very good at that Senegalese football as well, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You need to keep the clues coming, Gordon.
How many clues do you try? I don't know too much about this guy. Let me try and rack my brains. Let me think here. How many clues? Let's see if we've got. So many. How many are you still missing?
Three to get.
Three more. So you've got. You don't know the South African. No. What if I gave you his initials?
Yeah, go on.
DF.
Fortune.
Furman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dean Furman.
Dean Furman, yep.
Right.
Dean Furman.
We've got one. Another one, decent career down south, this guy as well. Played for Stoke, Portsmouth, Newcastle, but he only came in loan to Rangers 07-08, and it was about four games he played.
Yeah.
So decent player down the road. Played for a lot of top clubs.
Stoke.
His first name sounds a bit like Andy.
Mandy.
We were struggling here.
Andy. Sandy.
Andy. A-M-D-Y.
Oh, I remember him.
I don't.
Andy Fai.
I remember him.
And the last one.
Never I got it, but
listen,
I
the last one you're never going to get.
Right,
I'll just be honest. M-N.
No.
Maktar Ndai.
Off, no.
14 caps for Senegal. Okay, thanks to
that was a good one.
Thanks to Mark Guidi and Alex Ray for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. We'll be back tomorrow night. All the fallout from tonight's games in the company of Mark Wilson and Gordon DL.